Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Time for the children's story.
Good morning. How many of you have Christmas trees up in your house? How many of you have presents under the trees? Great. I'm going to tell you a story. Please forgive my voice. I've been down past 1 week. I'm asking the adults in the church to pray as I tell the story. I'm going to tell you a story about a mother who had three daughters. Her oldest daughter, her name was Mary, and the second daughter, her name was Becky, and the youngest, her name was Amanda. Amanda had a small doll that she liked to play with, the doll. She would dress it up, and this doll was not like the ones you have today. The doll didn't have an arm and didn't have the right eye and didn't have one leg, because Amanda's mom did not have enough money to buy them toys. She used to clean homes. She used to clean people's houses 5 days a week. And she would take Amanda with her because Amanda was only 3 years old. The two older daughters would go to school and she would walk off with Amanda from one house to the other. And I know that all of you, including the adults in the church, you know what happens in the United States. From the 10th of December till after Christmas Day, we all know that it's impossible to go shopping. And so, Amanda's mom, she used to clean the homes, and you know, she got used to going into these mansions and she would see whatever they would have in the homes. But Amanda had never been to the homes until that year when her mother took her with her to clean the homes. And so they dropped off the sisters, the two older sisters, and they went to the first house. And Amanda was overwhelmed by what she saw in the first house. Oh my goodness, there was this huge Christmas tree in the living room. Oh, it had all kinds of ornaments on it. And there was a mountain of presents underneath it. And Amanda kept looking and wondering, what is this all about? She had never seen a Christmas tree in her own home. And she never used to go shopping a lot with her mother, so she never really saw a lot of Christmas trees. She didn't ask any questions. Then they moved from that house to the next house, and her mom, you know, got herself busy and she started cleaning. Amanda again was overwhelmed by what she saw. All these presents underneath the tree, the beautiful ornaments, the decorations in the homes, and she just kept quiet. You know, she kept herself busy with her little doll, and she was covering it with this kind of raggedy blanket she had picked up in the parking lot one day. And she just kept quiet. They moved on to the next house. Well, the week went by. But the mother, because she knew that one day Amanda was going to ask her about what this whole big, you know, fuss was all about, she was getting angry because she couldn't afford to buy a Christmas tree. She couldn't afford to buy all the presents that, you know, she would find in other people's homes where she, you know, she went cleaning. She avoided going to the stores. And the two older sisters were at an age where they knew what Christmas was all about. Whenever they went to school, they would avoid talking about Christmas presents and Christmas feasts, whatever their friends were going to have for Christmas. And they'll pretend like they didn't hear what their friends were saying. But eventually it got to them. They went home one day, they were crying, they talked to their mother. "Oh, Mom, I feel so bad. Our friends are talking about all kinds of presents they're going to receive from their parents, and we don't have any." You know, and the mom says, "You know, I'm trying my best." And so one day, little Amanda, you know, she got so upset. She says, "Mom, why do people have Christmas trees in their homes? Why do they have all those ornaments on the trees and all those presents, the mountains of presents under their trees? What is this all about?" And the mother said, "Well," she called all the girls and said, "I need to tell you a story about Christmas." And she sat them down and she told them about the birth of Christ. And then she told them, she says, "You know, there is a church not far away from where we live, and usually they have a nativity set up outside the church. So if you want, we can take a walk over there and you can, you know, see baby Jesus laying in the manger." And Amanda was so excited, "Oh yeah, let's go and see him." So the mother took them for a walk and they went, and she was so fascinated. I mean, she was just staring at the baby Jesus and looking around at Joseph and Mary, that for the next 1 week she would beg her sisters, "Please take me for a walk to that church. I just want to go and look at the manger." And so Christmas Day came, and the two sisters got out of their bedroom and went to their mother's room. They hugged their mom, and they told her, "Merry Christmas, Mom." And the mother said, "Merry Christmas. Well, I tried my best, girls. I decorated the biggest plant I have in the house with popcorn, you know, on a string. And I put, you know, a present for each one of you. I hope you like the presents. Now go and get Amanda." And the two sisters ran into the room and went to look for Amanda. Amanda wasn't in her room at all. So they rushed into the living room. They started shouting, "Mom, Amanda is not here. Mom, Amanda is not here." The mother ran out of her room and started looking for Amanda. I mean, this was early morning, Christmas Day, you know. And they started looking around. The mother was panicking, "Where is Amanda?" Then finally, the mother looked in the living room and saw in her rocking chair the doll that Amanda always has, you know, she always used to move around with the doll, was in the chair, but the blanket was missing. And so mother said, "I know exactly where she is." And she started running towards the church. And there she was. Amanda had climbed into the manger, and she was covering baby Jesus with a little, you know, raggedy blanket. She was busy talking to Jesus, saying, "You know, I hope you didn't think we forgot about you. You know, I just wanted to keep you warm. My doll can, you know, get warm, you know, by me hugging her, but you don't have a blanket here. I just want to cover you." And the mother stopped and started crying. She says, "I am so sorry. I am so sorry, Amanda. I had forgotten about the baby Jesus. I had forgotten that Christmas is about the birth of Christ. I had forgotten about the baby. I hope this morning that you all remember why we celebrate Christmas. It's about the birth of Christ who came to die for us, to pay the price for us that we couldn't afford to pay. I hope that as you prepare to open your presents at home, that you remember about Christ, that you invite him in your homes. And this goes for everyone in the church today. As you prepare to gather with your families to celebrate Christmas, I hope you invite the honor of this birthday into your homes."
Psalms chapter 40, verse 1 through 3. "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His word. You know, I'm rarely up here, but I must confess that you're looking good from here. You know, you truly see what my wife would say, the beauty of God's creation. Good morning and happy Sabbath. I thank God, friends, for making it possible for us, all of us, to be here this morning. As you know, it wouldn't have been possible had it not been for His goodness and His mercy. And because of my ethnic background, I know that you can never take anything for granted. But the goodness is, today is the Sabbath. And let's celebrate the Sabbath. We know every day we should worship God, should truly worship God. But as you and me know, the Sabbath is the highlight of our worship experience. And so, let's take a moment and invite the presence of the Holy Spirit as we worship the Almighty God together. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we are thankful and grateful that you've made it possible for us, all of us in fact, to be here this morning. We wouldn't have been here if it wasn't because you wanted us to be here. And there's a reason that we are here this morning. It's because it's that day that you set aside for us to meet thee in thy sanctuary, to worship thee, to praise thee, and to give thee all the honor and glory that you deserve. We want to ask, O God, that you may send us the Holy Spirit here this morning, that he may dwell among us and within us as we worship thee. Bless us, dear Father, as we worship thee on this thy holy day. We also pray for those that have not been able to be here with us this morning, because of the many reasons, O God, that we may not know as human beings, but that you know. They've traveled, they are not well, they are discouraged. But we pray that, dear Father, as you go about blessing your people around the world, you may find time, O God, to bless those that are not here with us this morning. And those that are traveling, Father, we pray that you may give them traveling mercies and bless them wherever they are. We thank you for the visitors that are here with us this morning. Bless them as we worship with them here this morning. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. His name was Bruce. That's what we called him. We loved him as kids. This is when I was young. Mostly because he drove his motorcycle faster than we could imagine. He was one of the most popular kids in our neighborhood. As I say, I was about 6 or 7. But for some reason, grown-ups did not like this fellow. They told us never to get anywhere near him. He was faster than lightning, as far as we were concerned. He did everything in a hurry. If he showed up, you better be out of your way, or else he would knock you down. He was in a hurry to get to school, in a hurry to get home from school. We heard he even ate his meals in a hurry. When he spoke, he summarized his conversations. Many times he would be walking out of his house as he dressed. You've seen people like that, right? This was indeed a man in a hurry, with no time to waste. Ever heard of the phrase, time is money? I personally thought he coined that phrase. Bruce was in a hurry. In a hurry to get in bed. In a hurry to get up in the morning. He seemed to have no time for anyone. No time at all. But as kids, as I said, we loved his style. My buddies, however, and I were disappointed when we heard Bruce had died at age 25. Cause of death, even if unconfirmed, was heart problems. And most of us here this morning are not too far from Bruce's style. We do not have time. We don't have time to wait. And for some reason, society seems to condone that. Society seems to encourage us to go that way. Waiting, for most of us, is an everyday challenge. And today, as you all know, is the day before Christmas, 2 days before Christmas. And a majority of our young people, maybe even adults, are looking forward to Christmas. Reason? To find out what presents they'll get. And over the years, I don't know where my kids are, my wife and I have watched with anxiety and anticipation as our kids waited for Christmas. They were restless, especially when they were younger. Simply waiting for Christmas was difficult. You know, the time between Thanksgiving and Christmas seemed more like eternity to them than a month. And for most adults, they too cannot wait for Christmas, right? Why? Because it's a time for family. We have visitors here who've come to be with family. It's a time to take it easy. A time to relax. For those of us that are overworked, it's a time to be with loved ones. And for others, it's a time to reflect on our failures and achievements for the year that is coming to a close. And yet still, for others, it's a time to prepare for the year that's coming. A time to set new goals. But yet still, for others, they cannot wait for Christmas to be over. They cannot wait for the festivities to be over so they can get back to normal life. Why is it that as human beings, waiting is such a challenge? I've personally been blessed to have visited a few countries, and I've seen wherever I've been that the ability to wait seems to be missing in most cultures, irrespective of ethnic background. And unfortunately, many of our daily tasks, you and me, include a fair amount of waiting. While there is always a need to wait, we cannot wait. We are always in a hurry. The world we live in tries to overcome the burden of waiting by suggesting that waiting should not be part of life, right? For example, at a fast food restaurant, McDonald's, Burger King, you name it, we yell an order at one window, pick it up at the next window a minute later, and off we go. Back in the rat race. All because we cannot wait. You know, recently I told a workmate of mine about, I was just saying this, a book I'd read some time back. He looked at me as if I was from the 1900s. He confessed to me that he never reads books anymore. I looked at him in awe. He buys the cassette versions, which he listens to as he drives around while running errands. We do not have any time to read anymore. Perhaps it's a sign of the times that we even have condensed versions of the Holy Bible, isn't it? The ladies in this room this morning would confirm that most kitchens in our society now have gadgets to prepare meals quickly. Why? Because we just cannot wait anymore. For sure, a number of us have the no time, no waiting approach to life. And most of us do not like waiting. And the truth is, waiting is all part of life, isn't it? Waiting is all part of life. The Bible has several lessons about waiting. For example, David was ordained king at age 16, right? But he waited to be king until age 30. Jacob, we know about the story of Jacob, waited 7 years, right? No, 14 years for Rachel. These are many years to wait. 14 years to wait for your bride. Sarah waited until her old age to have a baby. These are all situations where most of us could not have waited even a year. Today, however, we must wait. We just have to wait. We have to wait for break time. We have to wait for Christmas for a year. There are some among us who have even calculated, right? Who have calculated how long it takes them to get from one place to another, from their home to work, just to save time, because they cannot wait. But yet still, they have to wait for the traffic light to turn green. In all these, there's an even more serious kind of waiting. The sick wait for good health, right? Others wait for marriage or for remarriage. Others wait for peace. Some wait for mourning. Yet still others wait for death. Waiting to get a job. Some are waiting for the stock market to rebound so they can recoup their life savings, right? Others still are waiting for a wayward son or daughter, or even spouse who've gone astray to come back. It's easy to talk about waiting. And you and I may be a true believer in waiting. But perhaps, if you are like me, you have at one time or another wrestled with God. You've asked God, why must I wait anymore? Why is it taking so long? And why must we continue to endure waiting? And yet waiting is all part of life. As individuals, we all think it's easy for others to talk about waiting. Here I am talking about waiting. Because we think that what others are waiting for is not significant compared to what we are waiting for. And as a practical matter, waiting can be pure agony, right? It can be a real challenge for most of us. Sometimes, the longer we wait, the more it becomes a test of our character, who we truly are. The longer we wait, the more it becomes a test of our faith. Have you ever noticed, for those of us that have waited, that when confronted with a situation where you have to wait, we tend to direct all our attention to that one area where we might sense that the rest of our life is on standstill. It feels like life is just passing us by and we will never catch up. The universal experience of waiting is why we are drawn to some Bible lessons of people that endured waiting. They endured waiting faithfully. We associate those people with our situations. In times of waiting, we love these lessons because we become so close to them. We have known the agony of waiting, and we desperately want to be able to wait faithfully if we are called upon to do so. The Bible tells us that God's clock is wound differently. Time is different for Him. We look at seconds, right? Or minutes, or even hours. But the Almighty God looks at ages. Waiting, not hurrying, is one of His characteristics. God tells us His people in Isaiah 30 verse 18. Listen to what He says. Blessed are all who wait on Him. The Bible lessons on waiting should encourage us to ask ourselves very personal questions. That's why they should do, isn't it? Ask us very personal, individual questions. These lessons should pose questions that challenge us to find personal answers in the depths of our spiritual lives. Remember the story of Noah and the ark. Just as an example, on God's instructions, Noah started to build the ark, right? When there was no sign of rain, no sign of rain, everyone thought Noah was out of his mind. If it were you and me, would have probably asked God some questions, right? Questions such as, could you give me an indication as to when the rain will actually come so that I can put it on my calendar? You know, the construction season is almost here, and I need to know exactly when I'll finish this work so I can get back on the construction industry. But as we all know, Noah did not ask such questions. He got right to work. Amidst lots of criticism, he could have been discouraged, but was not. When the ark was finally finished, he waited for God to give further instructions. We all know the lesson. Noah went into the ark. It rained cats and dogs and covered the earth with water. Here is what's intriguing about this lesson. Here is the gist of the matter. When the rain finally stopped, Noah would occasionally send out a bird to test the earth as a way of finding out if it was dry. Friends, I don't know about you, but for those of us that like the outside, if I've been locked up in a place for 1 year, especially with lots of animals, the one thing I want to do is to get some air. I can imagine myself trying to get out as soon as the rain stopped. But Noah did not get out of the ark until God told him to do so. He waited. He waited for God's timing. God knew that even if the water was gone, even if the water was gone, the earth was not ready for human or animal life. It's in such times when we, you and me, like Noah, must trust God to give us the patience during difficult times when we must wait. You know, in present day society, where we make ourselves believe that there is no time to wait, no time at all. And as I read the lesson of Noah, two questions came to my mind. Two questions. There could have been many, but just two came to my mind. Number one, who am I waiting for? Who am I waiting for? This is not just a question. Because it's important that we know who or what we are waiting for. For many of us, if we really examine ourselves, we'll find that we are not waiting for God to act, but someone or something else. Perhaps a job. A job that will give us fulfillment. Or our situation to align just right. Or maybe, especially when we are in trouble, the government to bail us out. There are others who are waiting for medical science to cure their diseases. And we wait and wait. And we put our hope in these things because they appear to be more present, more tangible, and more responsive to our needs and desires. For sure, most of us are not waiting for God. And yet, we as Christians ought to pray and wait for God to answer our prayers according to His will and in His time. We are evidently impatient as we wait for these things. Listen to what David says. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we must trust in His holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Let us ask the Lord to help us. Give Him our burdens and trust Him and wait on Him to see us through according to His will, that His name may be glorified. So, brothers and sisters, as you experience periods of waiting in your life, ask yourself, am I truly waiting on God? And do I believe that He's worth waiting for and will come through for me? Or am I too busy? Am I too busy pushing things to happen in my time and according to my will? The second question that Bible lessons on waiting cause me to ask is, what is the quality of my waiting? In other words, am I holding frustration within me? Do I go about complaining as I wait? Or do I leave it completely up to God to help me in my waiting? I truly believe that there are several ways we can wait, and therefore exhibit a form of waiting. What is the quality of my waiting? Going back to the lesson of Noah, the Bible says that Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. implying that Noah was righteous and blameless. This, however, does not mean that he never sinned, right? As a matter of fact, I was surprised that the Bible records one of his sins in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 20. When the Bible talks about Noah being blameless, it means that he wholeheartedly loved and obeyed God. As you know, for a lifetime, he walked step by step in faith with God as a living example to his generation. You and me, like Noah, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we too can walk step by step in faith that God will see us through our wait. And we can trust him that things will work out according to his will. Let's trust him that he will give us the patience to truly depend on him and wait. If you are like me, you might be asking, let's be practical, brother. What if things do not work out? What if things do not work out our way? Or what if things do not work out when we want them to work out? It's difficult to get rid of worry. As a practical matter, it's difficult to get rid of worry. Worrying about the outcome. I said to you, trust, and leave it in God's hands. As a child, we used to sing a chorus. I grew up in church, the Seventh-day Adventist church. We used to sing a chorus in our local language. It did not mean much then, but over the years, with all the challenges I've been through, I've learned to sing it with meaning. Some of you might know the song. And if there are some among us who speak more than one language, they will know that it's when you translate something from one language to another, sometimes it doesn't actually carry the meaning. All right? So let me sing it in my local language, in my vernacular language, and then I'll sing it in English. Hopefully it carries the same meaning. But it goes something like this. Lega kupenga kopaila shoma jeso ave mwami wago utabimbuli tomasi wagamuga guhyoma. Lega kupenga, lega kupenga, gopaila, 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 gopaila. All right? Now, let me sing it in English just to translate. I'm sure most of you know the song. It goes something like, why do you worry when you can pray, trust in Jesus? He'll be your guide. Don't be as doubting Thomas, unfaithful to his promise. Why do you worry? Why do you worry? When you can pray, when you can pray, when you can pray, when you can pray. The quality of our waiting is usually as a result of how worried we are about the possible outcome of what we are waiting for, isn't it? Praying that God will take care of what we are waiting for and trusting him completely eliminates our worry. Think about it. Noah did not get out of the ark. Once he calculated that the water level had receded, or once he ran out of patience, The animals in the ark must have been restless too. I imagine the stress level in that ark. And Noah's anticipation of the results of the flood. What was it like out there? He must have wondered. What were they to do once they got out of the ark? But it's evident that Noah was patient and focused on God's guidance to see he and his family through. He trusted God and did not try to make things work out for him. He did not try to fix the situation for himself. Still, I ask, what is the quality of our waiting? Do we ask for God's help and then try and fix our problems on his behalf? Do we seek alternative solutions when God does not come back to us soon enough? Friends, if you have not heard anything I've said this morning, listen to this one. Let us ask God for strength so that he could help us to remain faithful as we wait and ask God to help us out of our situation according to his will and in his own time. Because as a practical matter, no matter what happens, waiting will soon be over. We will no longer have to wait in long lines at the bank. No more wait for organ donations. We will no longer have to wait to get married, or even for medical science to cure our diseases. Soon, there will be no more waiting for death, or for the morning, or for the evening. There will be no more waiting in traffic, or for the traffic light to turn green. There will be a time when we wait, there will be no more a time when we wait for a wayward son or a wayward daughter or even a wayward spouse to come home. Listen to God's promise in Lamentations. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope in him, to the one who seek him. Listen to this. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. When we wait for the morning to come, the Bible says it is tedious to wait and hardest to wait just before dawn. Just before dawn. But joy will come in the morning. Waiting will soon be over. And when the waiting is over, we'll have given up the wait for things that you and I want. We now wait for the King and are bound to his desires and his timing. As we leave here this morning, my prayer is that we'll re-examine what we are waiting for. My prayer this morning is that we'll re-examine what we are waiting for, who we are waiting on to act. Who are we waiting for? My prayer is that we'll re-examine the quality of our waiting. It is my prayer that we'll place the burdens that cause us to wait upon the Lord, and that once we do so, we will faithfully live our lives, knowing that He is in full control of our situation, and that by His grace and in His time, the wait will soon be over. And that once it's over, we know for sure that we'll rejoice by His side because we have been faithful. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.